already. And I just want to, I've come so used to fearing time, since time is no more, and not being able all the comments to the end if there is time. And so I invite you tonight to read with me 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and use the time as much possible, as much as is possible, for the Holy Spirit. Appreciate King Brother Dan, and hope you will rest it up on his rotation. And it's always good to see the elders that God used in any place, in anywhere, to see that they're still standing with it. It means that which they found many years ago is still as precious as it is today. And the testimony to us that it is real, it is true, and their messages. The message is still alive and well. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 13, I'm sorry, starting with the 5th verse. And I'm going to try to hit the high points today to get people to see the, you know, the bridal attitude, the bride's real attitude. That's the most important thing there is. You can learn all the doctrine, you can learn everything about the message. The message, you can quote it, you can rehearse it. But if the attitude and the heart is not right, there will be no life.
Yeah.
There'll be contention, there'll be strife, there'll be debate, there'll be criticism, fault-finding, separation, hypocrisy among us. But if the attitude is right, the Christ-like attitude is there, then the simple promise of the promised world, there'll be no resistance there. And that's what you and I are longing for. We're longing to see that. 2 Corinthians 13, 5th verse. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, knowing not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except he be reprobate. But I trust that he shall know that he is not reprobate. And the book of Jude, I can't do this scripture justice, but I pray the Lord will help us. It says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word tonight. You may be seated. We started off expressing that without faith or in anything that you do that is without faith, it is not acceptable to God. For that which is not faith, not of faith, is sin. Yeah. That which is not of faith is sin. Now you might want to say, well, what faith is that? Is it a faith to know to believe the message? That's a faith to believe the message. Is it a faith to believe the messenger? Is it a faith to believe? What is that faith I must trust in that it will not be sin? And we've been trying to look at that, and hopefully tonight the Lord will help us to see the benefits, because you would not want to run the race, live a life that you know to be true, and then there is no benefit in that life.
Amen.
You don't want to be rejected at the end.
Amen.
Therefore it says, examine yourself and see if you be in the faith.
Yes.
And make sure that Jesus Christ is in you.
Amen. Amen.
And now you can play with words and say, Jesus Christ is in me because I believe the doctrine of serpentine. I believe in the seventh angel. I believe in Malachi 4. Amen. But that is not the faith. All of that is part of it. Like I will show you tonight, if we look in the book of Galatians chapter 3. In the book of Galatians chapter 3. Starting with, let's read the 29th verse. Galatians 3:29, and if ye be Christ, if Christ is in you, then ye be Christ, if ye belong to him, then are ye Abraham's seed, an heir according to the promise.
Amen.
Seems like a very simple scripture. It is scripture, a simple when the Holy Ghost is there, and when it's not there, then it can cause a lot of different thoughts.
Yeah.
But watch very carefully, the Greek word for that word, promise. Promise. There's only one promise. And that promise is Genesis 3:15. That's the one promise. But in that promise is many promises. That's the one blessing. He is the blessing. He is the gift of God. And in that one blessing are many blessings. The seed of the woman is the message. That is what all the age long for, the desire of the nation. That is why Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the people that represented, amen, the mankind, universal, the three wise men, they were looking for that promise. Amen. The seed of the woman. Yep. All the Old Testament looked to it. Yes. They looked towards him. They looked towards the cross. And we look back to the cross. Amen. It is the central theme of the Bible. Amen. Genesis 3:15. From that one promise are many promises. And if you look at the Greek word for that word promise, it will surprise you. It means message. Just click under your reading of it. You will see that it is used in many places, like in 1 John, where it says, and this is the message.
Amen.
It is the word promise. But you see, for us who have come into the message, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong because we are learning from our mistakes. We are learning because God might not have shown us at a certain time. Amen. But he's allowing our mistakes to become stepping stones. When we entered into the message, we thought the message was a body of truth. We thought the message was just a body of truth. Being delivered. But no, the message is the person of Jesus Christ. You see, and the embodiment of the truth is part of it. Because in that promise are many promises. There is only one message, and that's Jesus Christ. But that message is broken up into many messages. For many times, many, many dispensations. But it's the same message. It's never been a change of the message. But when we talk about message, how he is not even glorified. When we say message, his name is not even mentioned. When we say message, it's like it's so distant from him, like that is something else. Him and his word is so separated from his doctrine that we have a bloodless doctrine.
Amen.
Spiritless teaching.
Amen.
It cannot be separated from him.
Amen.
He is the principal theme of the Bible.
Amen.
Not his truth. He is the principal theme of the Bible.
Yes,
in the person of Christ. Of the gospel.
Amen.
It cannot be, otherwise it becomes powerless, it becomes knowledge, it pop it up.
Amen.
So there's only one promise, and that's Genesis 3:15, and there's only one message.
Amen.
But that message has many messages in it.
Amen.
Just like the root word for the word building up yourself in the most holy faith. It means to build on a foundation that is already laid.
Amen.
In other words, you cannot build on something if you don't have a foundation, it will fall.
Amen.
Building upon a foundation, the root word building, it's only used one time in the entire Bible. It means building up on something that has already been laid. And I want to show you that building, that promise, that building consists of three different areas. There is a foundation, there is a bodywork, and there is a headstone.
Amen.
The bodywork cannot come up unless there's a foundation.
Amen.
And the headstone can't come unless there's a body.
Amen.
So if I can teach all about the seventh seal, the third pearl, I can talk all about what we will do. But if there's no foundation there, it cannot perform anything.
Amen.
The message does not change your attitude. The truth does not. How many believe that?
Amen.
You've been there for a long time. It does not change your attitude.
Amen.
Attitude is changed when a man experiences the person of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We can play with words and say when we accept the message, we accept Christ. We can say things like, you know, it's Christ in me because I have the revelation of the word. That's not what he's saying at all.
Amen.
I think we need to go back to what the older brothers used to do. They used to make sure that they get the people to understand their own nature, their own sin, see themselves.
Yeah.
It is the glory, like I keep saying, I don't need to repeat myself, but it's so important that we ministers remember that our job is to steal,
yes,
and to shield,
amen,
man and his ability.
Amen.
That he does not trust in himself or his ability, or his character, or his good doing, or his morality, or his ability to abstain from sin.
Amen.
To fast from sin, to abstain from the world, to stain that, that is no good.
Right.
Because that which is without faith is still sin.
Amen.
Sin is not the absence sin is not the absence of good.
Amen.
Sin, in sin there is obedience,
amen,
to word, to the law. In sin is a conformity,
yes,
to the character of Jesus Christ. In sin, sin can look so holy.
Amen.
Sin can look so pious.
Yeah.
Amen. Sin is good work, holiness, and righteousness without faith.
Amen.
That's what sin is.
Amen. Amen.
Therefore, you can dress like the message. You can live like the message.
But
if that faith is not in there,
amen,
then we are wasting our time.
Amen.
We are deceiving ourselves.
Amen.
And we, that which we long to see, we say, I believe it. I believe all the doctrine my pastor teaches. I believe all the mystery. I believe it, Lord. I believe it.
Yes.
Where is the sweetness?
Right?
Yes.
Where is the right attitude to forgive and to long suffer?
Yes.
And not to justify oneself and to live,
right,
an overcoming life. Where is it?
Amen.
And we don't learn from it. We continue to say, maybe the next service I will believe more. And maybe the next service I will know more. Maybe I can read a little more of the books.
Right.
Right.
There is no peace,
yes,
in doing. There is no peace in knowing.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
There is only peace in receiving.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Right.
The gospel is not the law.
Yeah.
Amen.
In the law you do.
Yeah.
He wants you to do because you think you could do.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. But after you realize you can't do and you're labor enough and you're,
amen,
worn out and you're tired and you're heavy laden and you're burdened and you become poor in spirit and broken by the law, amen, then you remove Moses and you put Christ.
Amen.
It is important that we understand the life that we live. What is motivating it? What is it built upon? It says building, we must first establish the people on the foundation. You see, the foundation is faith. That's one foundation, that's true. That's the foundation to get into the body. But faith in what?
Amen.
In the day of Pentecost, they did not know about seven thunders.
Amen.
In the day of Pentecost, they did not know about third pole. In the day of Pentecost, they didn't even have a five-pole ministry.
Yes. Amen.
In the day of, but yet, brother, amen, they were able to enter into the body work.
Yes.
Amen. Because faith is not a step, faith is a foundation. Everything else is built upon it.
Amen.
These are all steps.
Amen.
But this is a foundation.
Amen.
It is important that every heart examine itself.
Amen.
Did I come in right in the message?
Amen.
Amen. Did I ever see my own self, my own wretchedness?
Yes,
amen. Did I see myself? Did I see any good in myself? If you did, then you know you have to go back.
Amen.
Amen.
You say, people know me so much. Who do you want to please?
Yeah.
We all have to go back.
Amen.
Minister,
amen,
ministry, everybody.
Right.
Amen. Amen. We have to make sure that our foundation is right.
Amen.
Because we, in our good intention,
yes,
we with our good intention, our heart for you, believe that as long as we can get you all to understand this and believe this, everything will be all right. We spend so much attention on the headstone,
yes,
that we consider not the foundation of that.
Right. Yes. Amen.
The Jews spend so much time trying to keep the law and to live right and to fulfill what God said in the Word that when 12th verse. And the law is not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. So you say, well, when does it not become law? When does the message and the way that you dress, the way that you act, the way that you live, well, how do I know that it is not law? Because if it is of law, it is not of faith.
Amen.
But if it is of faith, it is not of law.
Amen.
You can't have the both. You have to have one.
Amen.
It is when Moses dies.
Amen.
Because he is the administration of death. And Christ is replaced.
Amen.
You say, Moses, explain to me. Moses' job was to bring the law, and the law was to terrorize your soul.
Amen.
Make you afraid.
Amen. Amen.
It is to make your conscience condemn you.
Amen.
It is to let you know that your nature might do it, but you don't love to do it.
Amen.
And God judges the heart, not the action.
Amen.
And the more that you try to do and smile that you're doing it, it's more of a hypocrite you become.
Amen.
And because you are doing it, and others are not doing it, you complain.
Amen.
And you move on.
Yeah.
And you find faults.
Amen.
Because if I'm suffering, you should suffer too.
Amen.
If I'm deprived, you should deprive too.
Yeah.
This is the way, this is Moses. Moses' job was to create fear, to make you afraid. And that's what God wanted.
Amen.
Moses' job is to make sure you have no rest.
Right.
No peace. No joy. You didn't hear them singing under Moses, did you? That's Moses' job. Moses represents your old nature. He comes for your old nature.
Amen.
Right.
Because you don't know it, God gave you Moses and the law so that you can know it. By the knowledge of sin. So therefore, if the message, just take it, am I receiving it? Is it still fear? Am I trying to live so that I can have peace with God? Am I trying to do anything I can to make sure that I will make the rapture? Am I trying to live the message because I know it's true? Therefore, if I live it, God will save me. Or God will give me the Holy Ghost because I live the message. But I can live if I can live the message, I don't need the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
That's
right.
So
I'll
behave to God.
Amen.
This is still Moses.
Amen.
You can put Brother Brown's message here, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
But this is still Moses.
Yes. Amen.
That's the intention. It is intended. That is why the people said, tell us what God wants and we will do it.
Yeah.
That's why you want to just read the book and tell me what the prophet said. How long should my dress be?
Amen.
Two classes.
Yes.
Well, it should be as long as your sin covers your knee. But the pastor, but some of us who are afraid, because you see, there's no fear in Christ, but there's fear here.
Yes.
Knowing the nature of the people and not believing the power of the gospel, say, you know what, you better keep it all the way down here, just in case.
Right. Amen.
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 Yeah. That's the way it works.
Amen.
Yes.
But as long as your concept is that as long as God tells me how to live, I will do it.
Amen.
Then you are still under the law.
Yes.
Because you are trying to appease your soul.
Right.
You're trying to get rest. You're trying to get the assurance that God's peace. God is happy with me. God is pleased with me. If I be obedient, God will be pleased with me. Your old way of thinking is still there.
Yeah. Amen.
You still think that you have ability.
Yes.
You still think that you can do good. But your good is as filthiness as rags.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
In other words, when a man comes to know that yes, he can learn it and he can do it, amen, but he does not love to do it, therefore it's unacceptable to God.
Amen.
That there's nothing that he can do, no key, not even in a message, unless first he realizes that, then he can stop. You must come to know that.
Amen.
Not just know it here, you must feel it here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So much fear that he can mourn.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Blessed are them. Amen. And a poor spirit that the Lord has broken.
Oh,
and blessed are them that mourn over their own sins, over their own hearts.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
Only when you come in that condition are you ready for Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Right. Only when you come in, if you have never come in that condition and you believe the message, you know it's true. Amen. It's not that you're not elect. It means that you're not been taught right.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to the book. Proverbs chapter 4 and the 11th verse. I'm not saying you're not taught right by your minister. I mean that you didn't come in right.
Right.
4:11. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. Now Christ is the wisdom of God.
Amen.
If you've been taught in Christ.
Yes, sir.
I have led thee in the right path. There's only two paths. There is the broad way, which believe in doing.
Amen.
And there is the narrow way, which is only believing in him.
Amen.
You say not doing? If you do your most.
Amen.
If you do your most.
Yes.
You say, but brother, the scripture says, walk in the light as he's in the light. Scripture is written to also provoke the pride of man.
Amen.
The man says, God, the he normally strokes the cap the other way.
Yes.
To see what is in him. Scripture is written in such a language to provoke the pride of man.
Amen.
Walk in the light as he's in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But it also says that he will cause you to walk in his statutes.
Amen.
And I will give them a new heart.
Amen.
And a new spirit, and my spirit, and I will cause them to walk in my statutes. God don't need your heart to be clean.
Amen.
God needs it to be changed.
Amen.
You don't want it clean.
Amen.
And let me just, the word heart represents many things. But in a new heart, it represents a new way of thinking.
Amen.
The old way of thinking of the old nature is that God tells me what he wants and I do it.
Yes.
And then God will give me credit.
Yes.
The new way is that God can tell me what he wants. But unless he gives me the ability to do it, I cannot do it from the heart. Because my heart is contrary to his very nature. That is the new way of thinking. I will give you a new heart and a new way of thinking. It is a thinking that I cannot do unless he gives. Therefore it makes you look unto him.
Amen.
You cannot believe unless he opens your heart.
That's right.
To believe.
Yes.
Now I can preach Christ and you say, I believe that. That is here.
Yes.
Amen. But you have to be so afraid of your own self and your own ability that you're not trusting in yourself that you say, Lord, I not even believe I can believe.
Yes.
Amen. I can believe here, but how can I believe here?
Amen.
Amen. You can open the heart for me to believe.
Amen.
Amen. It's just like repenting. You say, Lord, I know I'm wrong. I need to repent. Your repentance is here.
Yes.
But it says the goodness of the Lord leadeth to repentance. He'll justify, he'll sanctify,
yes.
Amen, he will glorify. It must only be him.
Amen.
Because if you start off with anything of you,
amen.
You're off the target. And by the time it hits the target, it'll be a mile off.
Amen.
Even though just a little bit here.
Amen.
It must be built upon nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Believe in the message doesn't make you righteous. Living the message does not make you righteous.
Amen.
It's what he did for you, and what he says for you is your righteousness. Righteousness is not by doing, righteousness is by believing. Righteousness does not come by acting. It does not come by doing. Amen. You are justified by what he did and you believe.
Amen.
You are righteous not because of you change anything.
Yes.
Amen. You are righteous because he said, I impute righteousness.
Amen.
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 New hearts. Ezekiel 36:26 is a new way of thinking.
Amen.
You don't think like the old man. The old man is rebellious and prideful. He thinks he's good. And he thinks he has the ability to do good because he's born from the knowledge of good and evil.
Yes.
Therefore, he knows to do good.
Yes.
And he can make himself do it.
Amen.
Amen.
But he does not have the heart to love it.
Right. Amen.
And when you do that which you know to be good, but don't love to do it, you'd rather do something else, you're a hypocrite.
Yes.
Because the outside is not matching the inside.
Yes.
Amen.
And therefore, not only you become prideful and proud and have a high look and a lofty look, and you also become a judge.
Amen.
Amen.
Because if I can do it, why you are not doing it?
Amen.
You don't love the Lord?
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
It is pride. And when there's pride, there's contention. When there's pride, there's criticism. When there's pride, there's confiding. God has to break that.
Amen.
You can't. Amen. When you come into Christ, he breaks pride.
Amen.
Because he shows you you have nothing you can do for yourself.
Amen.
And I have to do it for you.
Amen.
Nothing you can do for yourself. No, if there's nothing you can do for yourself, then there's nothing no man can do also.
Amen.
Yeah, when you hold another man accountable for living right or not living right, when you hold him accountable for it, you are just telling your experience. Because if you couldn't do it, why expect him to do it?
Amen.
God is going to make sure that you see yourself equal with every man, not better, not
better.
Sinner, just like every man. And if God opened your heart and doesn't open his heart, then it doesn't make you proud. It makes you, Lord, that could have been me.
Amen.
Amen. If you make your heart reach out to the man. Begin to change your attitude even before you're even baptized.
Yes.
Before you're even baptized with the right formula.
Yes.
The heart must change. It must
Amen.
Be a new heart.
Amen.
A new way of thinking.
Amen.
Your attitude changes towards the sinner, like I said before. Look at this verse. Starting with the 11th. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, as in Christ Jesus. I have led thee into the right path. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble.
Amen.
But if you're not taught, amen, in Christ Jesus, amen, he will become a stumbling stone and you will stumble and you will not know why you're stumbling.
Amen.
Amen. You can be in the message of the hour, know all that is right, know how to live, know the mystery, and still be stumbling in darkness.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
And still be stumbling in darkness.
Yes.
Because you're stumbling over. He becomes a stumbling stone to you.
Yes. Yes.
Only when you recognize him.
Amen.
Puss.
Right.
Puss. Then he becomes a help to you. Outside of that, you're still believing in you.
Amen.
You believe your ability to hear the message and therefore you can live it. And that's nothing but pride.
Right.
That which is not done of faith is sin.
Right.
Continue if you don't mind. Isaiah 8:13-15. Try to move along with the Lord will help us tonight.
Amen.
Isaiah 8. Says this, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling, for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin, which is a trap, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. For one class of people, he'll be a sanctuary.
Amen.
For others, he'll be a stumbling stone.
Amen.
They stumble after the stumbling stone.
Amen.
We know he's a sanctuary. Remember, the Bible talks about a sanctuary. This is the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Israel. At the time of his coming, they all would stumble. They stumble at that stumbling stone. I want you to know this very carefully. Also, in the book of Romans chapter 9, just before the vision of the seven angels, the Holy Spirit gave Brother Branham the scripture.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
Romans 9, 32.
Amen.
Romans 9, 32 and 33. Let's look at 34. Let's look at the 30th verse. Now watch very carefully in the context. He's talking about Elias, is that right? Elias concerning the children of Israel, the number of children at the side of the sea and the remnant of Manasseh and so forth. But the 30th verse together. And thou shalt, and what shall he say then? That a Gentile which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of
faith.
So now we know one thing, there's a righteousness which is of faith. And there's a righteousness which is of works.
Amen.
Amen.
But they didn't attain to the righteousness which is of faith because they were ignorant of it.
Amen.
And they stumbled on the stumbling stone. Go to the same. Wherefore? Because they saw it not by faith, but as it were by works of the law, for they stumbled on the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Amen.
Amen. In other words, you know, just before this comes back, the prophet of God is being given this scripture. Because in this scripture, we come back to two things again. You come back to people who are under denominational law.
Yeah.
And they're believing in their denomination and their teaching, and they're believing their church is right and their doctrine is right.
Yeah.
And so therefore they believe it by denominational works.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. But here's the capsule of grace coming back again.
Hallelujah.
Amen. To bring back the doctrine that the gospel is establishing grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It comes back with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto us.
Amen.
Amen.
Same problem they had down here, the same problem exists back up here. We are trying to mix law and grace together. And that was the problem Paul encountered. Even after the Son of Man left, the problem was trying to mix law and grace.
Yes. Amen.
It is all grace.
Amen.
But the Jews were afraid that the people would live on how? The Jews were afraid. Amen. The elders were afraid that they would live all how and they would live, you know, fleshly and everything because it was by grace. They didn't believe in the power of God and the Holy Spirit. But Paul did. Paul said the gospel is the power of God.
Amen.
Not everyone is going to live right.
Amen.
But not everyone in the church is going.
Amen.
Amen. You can't deny the grace of God possess of you.
Amen.
Grace will bring the sin to the top that you might see it. Grace will bring the sin to the top that you might see your own heart. You will see your own problem. But the law is going to hide it and suppress it. And you get down to the Jordan River and realize you have a bunch of people and you can't present any of them. It must be established. The ministry must believe in the power of the gospel. It must believe that they can't do it, but preaching the grace of God, the love of God, use the right attitude.
Amen.
And they must also be aware that Satan will have a few in the church that will even use the grace of God to disgrace it. But can you deny the bride the grace because a few will do it?
Right. Amen.
We are not Levites.
Amen.
Right.
Levites were cruel in the heart. That's why they were priests.
Amen.
You do the Levites wrong, They'll come up with this football, they'll tear you apart.
Right?
Amen. Names of heaven, they'll come up here and tear you apart.
Right?
That's the Levites.
Amen.
But not Melchizedek, he's like Abraham. No matter what the Lord did,
Amen.
He was for Lot.
Amen.
He was for Lot.
Amen.
He's an angel.
Blessed be the name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's roll, if the Lord will help us a little bit more. Let's look at these two areas. I want you to look also in the book of the 19th verse, Proverbs 4:19. Proverbs 4:19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what they stumble. Even though we have the light of the hour, the message of the hour, we can be in darkness.
Amen.
We can be stumbling.
Right.
We just can't seem to pick up the momentum of a victorious life and a victorious living.
Yes.
We think a victorious life is keeping away from adultery, dressing right, not lying, not stealing, not cheating. As long as we can do those things, we are comfortable and we believe the message. But this is victorious living. Victorious living is when you feel injustice.
Amen.
It's not that you lie. It's what happens when somebody lies on you, how you react. When somebody snares you. When somebody provokes you. When somebody hurts you. Then you will see the real. Everybody can be a Christian as long as everybody treats them good.
Right.
Can you be a Christian when they do you bad?
Amen.
Amen.
It's when your faith is tried.
Yeah.
Then we cry out, he did it first. Amen. He's wrong. He should never have said that.
Yes.
Now we want our power blessed because we are looking for who's right and wrong. We are looking for justice.
Yeah.
But when we did him wrong, we didn't look for justice. We cried for mercy.
Yes.
And we said, Lord, we couldn't help ourselves. We were born with that nature. But we are holding the other man accountable for justice.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
I want to show you that when you come to Christ and he gives you peace,
Amen.
He gives you rest,
Amen.
He gives you justification,
Amen.
Amen. He gives you peace,
Amen.
He gives it to you, and if you have really experienced it,
Amen.
That's the only thing you can give back.
Amen.
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 You cannot give anything else.
Amen.
And you don't have the Holy Ghost here. Get the Spirit of God working in your heart, and you don't. Then imagine the overcoming power, and you don't have the quickening of the genie yet. But yet your attitude to man changes.
Amen.
You expect no good thing from him because you expect no good thing from you.
Right.
He will lie, but you will lie also.
Yes.
Amen.
He will defend himself and make himself look good, even when he's wrong, and so will you.
Mm.
And if you don't do it, it's still in nature in you.
Yes. Amen.
After a man has been broken and he comes into Christ, he comes with this new heart, this new way of thinking. And this new way of thinking is that this, that only faith in him, what is faith? Faith is something God gives you.
Amen.
It's not something you have or possess.
Right.
He does not trust his own heart.
Right.
He that trusts his own heart is a fool.
Amen.
Amen. So he comes to such a knowledge that I don't even know if I believe or not, Lord. I don't know if it's believing here or here.
Yeah,
how can I tell?
Nice.
Who can tell all these things that are supernatural? I've been born natural all my life. I understand the natural thing as a man.
Amen.
Only thou knowest the supernatural.
Amen.
So how do I know I really believe? There was a man named Simon in the book of Acts 8. They said he believed and was baptized, but he didn't believe on the saving faith.
Amen.
His faith didn't save him. We can believe like that also.
Amen.
Not all faith saves.
Yes.
Only the faith that God gives.
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
Can't even trust your heart to say, well, I believe in Christ Jesus. And my preacher, they said, that sounds so logical, so reasonable. That sounds, that is the truth, brother, that's the truth. Acknowledging the truth doesn't mean it has done anything for you.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Is when you begin to look to Him.
Yes.
Lord, I see here. I see here. What am I seeing here?
Amen.
Open my heart that I might believe.
Amen.
Open my heart that it might become life.
Amen.
You see, He's teaching you right then and there from the very first step. Amen. It's not you, it is me. Look unto me. Don't trust in your own heart. Don't trust in yourself. You have no ability to believe. But I can give you the heart to believe. As I said, I'll give you a new heart. I'll make your thinking change. I will teach you in the way of wisdom. And when you run it, you stumble not. When you walk, you'll walk straight. When a man has come to such a place and you realize that he can't even trust himself. That when a man gives him his word and breaks his word, he's not upset, he's not disappointed. He knows man because he knows himself. Many great men broke their word. Many godly men broke their word. Even Samson, the most powerful man, broke his word.
Amen.
Then I said to you, why then hold the other man accountable like if you're so surprised? Don't you know human nature yet?
Yes.
Is there any good in any man? So when they do bad, why do we get so surprised? Because we hold them accountable for righteous living, for good living. And yet we couldn't do it. We ask God to look at us under another standard. Don't judge us by your standard of righteousness. Judge us by mercy.
Amen.
Judge us. Remember, we are nothing but dust, O Lord.
Amen.
Remember where we come from.
Yeah.
We are just creatures of time, Lord.
Amen.
Therefore, when a man comes to Christ, not under Moses, if he comes under Moses, he will want to exact payment. He will want justice. And in so doing, if you come to Christ and you accept justice, you are an adulteress and you are wicked.
Amen.
Jesus told a parable. How many times should I forgive my brother, Lord?
Yes.
70 times 7. And he spoke a parable saying, there was a king. And there was a man that owed this king.
Yes.
He owed him much denarius. And he came and he couldn't pay. And the king said, sell his property, sell his wife, sell his children, pay the debt. And the man pleaded for mercy and time. And the king said, come here, I forgive you. He received mercy, he received grace, he received pardon. His slate was wiped clean. And then this man left there in the presence of the king and found another man who owed him. And then he exacted exactly what he wanted. And the man cried for mercy. But there was no mercy because his heart was never affected. The heart never became grateful. The heart never became thankful. The heart never considered, oh, how wonderful I feel to know that somebody can mercifully be so merciful to me. When I deserve to be in jail and my family scattered, he never considered the act. The Holy Spirit never softened his heart. Therefore, he wanted. He took down Christ and he put up Moses. No, you're wrong. You really did owe it. You need to pay. And the Bible called him a wicked servant.
Amen.
What this man did was that he accepted a certain weight to judge the balance, the scale. God, the king, gave him a certain weight. He judged him in a certain way, and it was mercy.
Amen.
It was grace.
Amen.
But when he wanted to judge the other man, he used a different weight.
Yes.
He used the weight of the law. Justice. He wanted justice. And justice says, he did it. He's wrong. Pastor, he's wrong. I know he lied. I can prove he lied. God could have, the king could have proved this man owed too.
Yeah. Amen.
But he didn't want that. He used a different scale, and the Bible said he that uses different weights is an abomination before the Lord. Sometimes it happened in the ministry. They judge other people's children a certain way.
Yes.
But when it comes to their children, It's something else.
Amen.
They judge your wives a certain way. They judge other people's wives another way.
Amen.
It's different ways. You do it yourself. Can we look at some of them?
Hallelujah.
Let's look at the book of 1 Kings chapter 10, 8 and 9. I am the most guilty. I can't be the most guilty because I am in ministry. We have to be careful. It was important that the Levites use the same way.
Amen.
The first has to be used is the Levite. They must measure righteous judgment. 1 Kings 10, 8 and 9. Are you happy?
Amen. Amen.
Happy are they men. Happy are these servants that stand continually before thee and that hear wisdom. Blessed. Oh my, what's the right thing here? Blessed be the Lord God, which delighted in thee to set thee a throne on Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made thee king to do judgment and justice.
Amen.
To do. You're kings and priests, aren't you? To do what? Judgment and justice. The point, where did you learn judgment and justice? In Christ Jesus. Therefore, you must judge all men in Christ. If you see a man outside of Christ, you see yourself a sinner.
Amen.
But if you see yourself in Christ, then you see all men through the eyes of Christ, helpless, hopeless, and needing of him.
Thank you, Lord.
Psalms 89, and you can probably go back and pick up some more on the weights. I just have a couple of them. Psalms 89:14. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face.
Amen.
Blessed is the people that know the joyful song. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall thy people rejoice all day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory and their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. And our King writes, he judged us under the standard of mercy and grace. That comes from his throne.
Amen.
That's his judgment.
Amen.
How then we, being his subject, go forth and judge others differently? How we then, even though the man is wrong, even the man is a hypocrite, the man is all these things, he's only that thing because he was born that way.
Amen.
And he cannot help himself. And to ask him not to do it is to ask him to be a bigger hypocrite.
Yes.
Because that is what is in him.
Amen.
To expect any good from him is to say he is good in men. And therefore, Christ didn't need to come.
Right.
What are we really saying? Look how many differences we have in the message. Look how many separations we have because we in the ministry use different ways.
Amen.
Right.
We use different weights to measure.
Right. Amen.
I can use the weight of revelation and say, man, that man has fallen off. Don't go by him. Don't listen to him. They're off.
Yeah.
I can use that as a cloak.
Amen.
To cause separation, division, cause fear in the people, kill influence. Because that man might not see now, but if he does see, it will be the grace of God, and maybe God will grant you.
Yes.
And have that come right back on you.
Amen.
Judge righteous judgment. Amen. Because the judgment that you use, the measure you use to judge, is the measure you will be judged. Matthew chapter 7.
Amen.
Why worry about the beam in your brother's eye?
Yes.
The mark in your brother's eye when you have a big beam in it. But you see, we don't see the beam. We look around the beach. I say we because it happens from us all the way to the lady. None is better than none. Until we purge ourselves.
Amen.
Unless you see you are not going anywhere without a fivefold ministry.
Amen.
Unless you start to pray for the fivefold. Amen. Unless you start to say, Lord, give them wisdom.
Amen.
Give them character. You
yes,
think you assume we have it.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
You want to go anywhere, you're not going without the fivefold. And if you don't get on your knees and pray for your pastor and for the missionaries and whoever it is, you don't care about your destination.
Amen.
You place the responsibility upon us.
Amen.
So we act like we are perfect and righteous and upright. And that's what we want to be. You expect that from us. And when we mess up, then you're so disappointed. But who lifted you up? Me, Brother Angel, I covet your prayer. If there's anything you do, please pray for me.
Amen.
And I say to you, if you want to go higher, you can't go higher than your pastor. And if you say he's not perfect, well, you are not perfect.
Amen.
So why don't you pray for him?
Amen.
Don't let anybody say anything about your pastor. If he has faults, other pastors have faults.
Amen.
And if he has a problem, there's nobody perfect.
Amen.
You pray for him. Don't you encourage anybody to say anything
Amen.
Wrong.
Yes.
We have a cloak that we can use the word of God to separate brothers, ministers, churches. We use the word of God deceitfully.
Amen.
And I call it the word of God. And I make it a stand for righteousness. But many times because of your selfishness, because of your pride, because you can't handle different temperaments, because you can't get your way. Others won't let you get your way. Different reasons. But we say it is God. I wonder what he will think of that.
Amen.
And you cloak yourself. You cloak yourself not to obey, not to live right, to speak evil, to criticize, to speak where angels wouldn't speak. About God's servants. Regardless what you think of them, they are God's servants. But you cloak yourself that they are not right, they are not perfect, they are flaws. Didn't you think God knew that when he put them there? Who are we, oh man, to judge what God has put up? But you use a cloak to say, I wouldn't obey this and I wouldn't do this. And look what he's doing. I'm not going to church and I'm not paying my tithes. That's just a cloak for unrighteousness. That's only a reason. That's hypocrisy. You see, it is played on the two sides of the fence.
Right. Amen.
Oh. We use the word of God deceitfully.
Yes. Amen.
To have our own way.
Right.
Unless you who want to see the real thing pray for us.
Amen.
Who need to preach the right thing.
Amen.
Amen.
We are not going anywhere.
Amen.
Right.
Oh.
Proverbs 21 and 3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. You can come in the house of the Lord and sing like an angel.
Yeah.
You can give your tithe, your offering, you can do what you want. But if you are judging other people outside of Christ, because Christ judged, God judged you in Christ, and you're using a different weight, he said it's more important that you look at men in the right way.
Right.
Judge them the way that God judges you. Give them the grace God gave you, the mercy, long suffering. Give it to them.
Right.
That you come in my house and not do that and offer me everything. Because it shows your heart never understood what I have done for you.
Amen.
It never was warmed.
Right.
Amen. Anytime you see how God, like we'll get into justification in a moment, how God dropped your charges.
Amen.
Without you doing one thing.
Amen.
You became guilt-free by him, not even changing, just by believing that in you is no good thing. And he had to pay the price.
Amen. Amen.
He became sin.
Amen.
He became guilty.
Amen.
That I might be not guilty.
Amen.
He became unrighteous that I might become righteous.
Amen.
By one man, I became an enemy of God. By one man, I became a friend of God.
Amen.
By one man, amen, I became unrighteous. By one man, I became righteous.
Amen.
Oh, brother, not by doing anything for that one man, but what he did for me.
Amen.
I open by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To have a reckless, daring trust in the work and the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's reckless. You believe and you have all this problem. That's why it's reckless.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what I see here. It matters what he did.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what I feel like. Amen. Amen. It's what he said I am.
Amen.
A reckless, daring trust. They don't care what anybody says.
Amen.
Because the Lord will call it foolishness, but God will call it the wisdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but to us, it is the power of God.
Amen.
Amen.
When a man begins to see that and begins to think in this new way, his measurement of people changes.
Yes.
And his attitude. I would not expect Bernani to be perfect. He might make bad decisions. He might say certain things. But I would have done the same. Maybe a different measure.
Amen.
And just as I want grace for him, I want grace for me.
Amen.
Yes, just as I want somebody to long suffer in my ignorance of something, I would want to suffer with him.
Amen.
Do not become an accuser, because in Christ there is no accusing.
Amen.
In Christ there is only intercession.
Amen.
There is only blood.
Amen.
That speaks better things.
Amen.
Amen. And the blood of bulls and goats. The blood of bulls and goats asks for justice.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Was under the law. It asked for justice, but a substitution only to cover. It couldn't take it away.
Right.
Amen. But the blood of Jesus Christ speaks
Amen.
Better things.
Amen.
A better covenant.
Amen.
Oh, watch not carefully. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Then who much is given, much is required.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. They could have acted under the law because they did not have that which was perfect.
That's right.
They can be critical. They can have different problems. It's under the law. But under grace, who much is given, the heart requires, God requires much more from the heart.
Amen.
He gives you mercy, he wants mercy.
Amen.
He gives you righteousness, he wants you to be righteous. Your judgment.
Amen.
To whom much is given, much is required.
Yes,
he didn't give the Old Testament what he gave us. Therefore, he will require more of us.
Amen.
You are going to enter in Christ before even the Holy Ghost comes. You don't need a message for this heart preparation, by the way. You just need somebody who fundamentally knows.
Amen.
He can teach you that.
Yes.
But you'll need somebody who has life in him.
Amen.
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 Because life will only pass through the
yes.
body.
Yes.
But they can fundamentally teach it. Any good fundamental church will teach this.
Yes. Amen.
This was not a mystery that was lost.
Right.
The foundation was never lost.
Right.
They know it was Jesus Christ. The aspects of that foundation, justification and so forth, they're taken away from the people. But they knew it had to be built on the work of Christ. That's what the devil wanted to get away in the Roman church. He wanted to replace them with works.
Amen.
But it never kept one little group of people always a light.
Amen.
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 You think it was Luther? No. There were people that believed just being like before Luther. They died for it.
Amen.
Luther was just a man.
Amen.
So in Christ, there is no accusing. Because they're all guilty, and Christ takes their guilt, so there's not, and in Christ, it's not them that are perfect, it's them that were imperfect.
Amen. Amen.
He did not come for the healthy, he came for the sick.
Amen.
He did not come for the righteous, he came for the unrighteous.
Amen.
So all of them that is in Christ is them that are already admitted, I am no good, I'm a sinner. Amen.
Amen.
In other words, how can they criticize?
Amen.
They're all in the same boat.
Amen.
Little children, if you sin, you have an advocate.
Amen.
Jesus Christ the right. Why do you think it said that?
Hallelujah.
Acknowledge your faults.
Amen.
He's not trying to tell you about sin, unbelief. You know you already believe in Christ, that we call little children.
Yes.
Amen. But if you have problems and faults,
Amen. Don't let that frighten your heart. You have an advocate. You have one standing there.
Amen.
Amen. And the devil comes up to God. He says, amen, not guilty.
Amen.
Why? Because there's a voice speaking and a blood speaking.
Amen.
There's somebody watching over you.
Amen.
They might not see you perfect, but he sees you perfect. Every time the accuser comes up, amen, the blood speaks.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Not guilty. Not guilty, and you didn't, and you're guilty, and you're not guilty. Why is that? Let me show you why. When you come to Christ, and God opens your heart, and you believe that he became you, he's your representation.
Yes. Amen.
This is what happened. He becomes you. He went the death, hell, and the grave.
Yeah, yeah.
So that you don't have to go.
Right.
So when you initially believe that he is Lord and Savior, you automatically know you can never go to death, never go to hell and the grave, separated from God.
Amen.
Death, hell, and the grave is taken care of.
Right.
You can't be afraid anymore.
Amen.
He already went there for you.
Amen.
He already saved you from his own justice.
Amen.
He already met his justice requirement for you. He is pleased with the work of Christ.
Yeah.
You might have problems, but he's pleased. He said, I'm satisfied, and if God is satisfied, then who am I to complain? I'm satisfied with the work of Christ also.
Amen.
You don't even have the Holy Ghost yet, but yet, yes, your faith. Yes, your faith has delivered you from death, hell, and the grave. Never to frighten you again.
Amen.
Because you did not get there by doing. You got there by believing.
Amen.
The only way to get to death, hell, and the grave is the doubt now.
Amen.
That has nothing to do whether you mess up. That has nothing to do with your force, your temperament. That has nothing to do with your habits.
Amen.
You already took care of the destination. Death, hell, and the grave neutralized.
Amen.
No power over you. I can't frighten you.
Hallelujah.
I can't frighten your heart. Amen. Faith stands at the door and says, yes, I am guilty. That's why I have an innocent one standing. Unless that starts off right, when you go in and sanctification, you'll be all afraid. I need to clean up to get the Holy Ghost. I need to do this. You know, you need to do that so that God might use you and be glorified. But that has nothing to do with your destination.
Amen.
Your destination has nothing to do with that.
Amen.
Has nothing to do with that. So he saves you. That's why some scriptures you read, the Lord here, who has saved us, past tense, saved us.
Amen.
And in some scriptures, it's talking about, you know, go on to the saving of the soul. It is happening. And sometimes we can get mixed up with that. In most scriptures, it says, he has saved us.
Amen.
A lot of scriptures said, believing unto the saving of the soul, your salvation is going on. That's because he saved you in the finished work from death, hell, and the grave. And now that he saved you from death, hell, and the grave, he must save you from yourself.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
He has to save you from yourself.
That's right.
Because even though he saved you from death, hell, and the grave, you are still destroying yourself.
That's right.
He's still smoking. He's still doing these things. He must save you from yourself.
Amen.
And that is why he starts cleaning you up.
Amen.
To protect you from you.
Amen.
To save you from the old man.
Amen.
And that is a continuous work.
Amen.
So two things he does. He saves you from his justice, which requires death, hell, and the grave. And now that is settled, your heart is unafraid.
Amen.
You're not enemy. God, in fact, God is pleased with you because you are telling him, Father, it's only in your wisdom I can be saved.
Amen.
You have brought the proud look down of all man.
Amen.
You have broken his strength. You have broken his pride. Amen. You have caused him to look at himself and realize there's no hope. And then you say, look unto me.
Amen.
All the ends of the earth, for I am God.
Amen.
If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me.
Amen.
That is what God has done for you. God had to try so hard to get you to see he saved you. Because you were trying so hard to save you. And failing miserably. The next point is this. In Christ we have an advocate.
Amen.
Therefore, when somebody falls or acts badly, if you accuse him of being a hypocrite or this or that or not living right, just remember, he says, if they have a problem, remember, they have an advocate.
Amen.
Amen.
So now, the very thing that you say God is for you, you are denying it for them. And so you are not working for Christ or the kingdom, you become an accuser of the brethren, and you begin to work for the other side.
Yes.
But you know why you're doing it? Because you see, you never came right. If you had come right, amen, it would have broken you already.
Amen.
Amen. You are broken. You see, under Moses, an accusation. Under the law, it criticizes you, it condemns, it finds fault, it locks you up, it puts you in prison. There's no mercy, there's no grace, there's no intercessor. Amen. There's nothing under Moses, so you're acting like you're under Moses. You're accused of the brethren.
Amen.
Amen.
But he who has come into Christ and knows his fault,
yes. Amen.
He is looking for the intercessor, the advocate, to stand for him. And therefore, when his brothers, you see anything in his brother, and they do anything, brother, they become intercessors one for another.
Hallelujah!
Amen. Brother. Amen. I'm interceding for you.
Amen.
Amen. I'm interceding for you. Interceding for you. We haven't touched you yet. We haven't touched you at full yet. We haven't touched Son of Man yet. Amen. But an attitude is being developed. Amen. Towards man.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And we have, can you imagine when that dynamics of that message,
yes,
connects with this part of the message,
yes,
that has been built right?
Yes.
Christ said, they are perfect.
Amen.
Amen.
So his heart becomes at peace. Being justified freely by His grace, we have peace with God.
Amen. Amen.
Being justified means having all your charges being dropped.
Amen.
By the grace of God that He met the requirements for you, past, present, and future. I don't have to, my heart can't threaten me anymore. When my heart rises up and conscience rises up, it means to say, you're not good, and look what you're doing, look what's happening, and look at this, and look at the old man. We say, brother, amen, but it's sprinkled with blood.
Amen.
Amen. You can't frighten me. You can convict me, but you can't frighten me. Amen. Because my peace is in Him.
Amen.
He met the requirement for me. In other words, He became a hiding place for my conscience. Amen. He became a refuge. He became a city of refuge for me. I might be guilty, but I have a high priest. My refuge. He is my hiding place. He is my strong tower. He is my rock of offense. Amen. He is my defense, brother.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Because you condemn you more than anybody condemns you. You want to hide and play, go hide from people talking. Hide from your conscience.
Amen.
And see if you can get away with it. You can't. Can't hide from your conscience. Conscience make people commit suicide.
Yes.
Conscience make people commit different things and acts just to ease their conscience, become drunkards and addicts just because of their conscience.
Right. Amen.
Amen. But I know a cure for that conscience.
It never said, God, open Simon's heart.
But I said, God, open Lydia's heart.
Yeah. Amen.
I want God to open my heart.
Amen.
I have opened my heart.
Yeah.
When that, so your peace, your confidence that you are at peace with God, that you're not walking down the road with all your mistakes waiting for something to happen and God to punish you. That's the wrong God.
Amen.
He wanted to, we want you to know that He knows that you are nothing but dust.
Yeah.
He expects nothing from you, and if there's any good thing, I'm going to do it in you.
Amen.
And I'm going to give it.
Amen.
I'm going to give you the ability. I am going to lead you. I am going to lead you. That is when you have peace. Your conscience cannot rise up.
Yeah.
It cannot threaten you. It cannot make you afraid. If your doctrine is not right, you're not afraid.
Amen.
Because I believe in Christ, and only He knows. I don't know what truth is.
Amen.
You know, you think you know what truth is.
Amen.
The Jews saw truth and they didn't know it.
Amen.
The world knows truth and they didn't know it. If you recognize truth, then the Holy Ghost opened your eyes.
Amen. Amen.
We don't even recognize what truth is. Sometimes we even crucify the very truth.
Yeah.
Right.
Sometimes you hear a man preach a certain doctrine because you never saw it that way or hear it a certain way. Amen. You're already criticizing it. And then turn around, you eat shoe polish. A couple of years later, you have to eat the same thing.
Amen.
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 Let me tell you this. I don't know about anybody else. I'm a preacher. I've ate so much shoe polish in my lifetime. I can tell you what flavors they are. But it wasn't in vain. It was to learn.
Amen.
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 It was to learn.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Peace only comes when you believe that He wants nothing from you except for you to believe and trust that you have no ability.
Yes.
And God's eyes are upon the poor.
Amen.
He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. It will mean, I will not leave you orphans.
Yes.
I will not leave you fatherless.
Amen.
As a father provides for his children, I'll provide for you.
Amen.
If my doctrine is not right,
the Lord.
I'm trusting Christ, because in Christ He knows I know no truth.
Yeah.
Can't even recognize it.
Amen.
Therefore, I'm trusting that He who knows my need, I'm depending on Him to send the Holy Spirit to lead me to truth.
Amen.
I don't go looking for it. I don't try brainwash, brain studying it.
Yeah.
I'm just dependent.
Yes.
That because of my faith in Christ, God is so pleased. God is so pleased because I trust only in Him.
Amen.
I depend only in Him.
Amen.
He's not depending on Him to lead me to greater truths.
Amen.
To establish me. Oh! Then the preachers have no excuse. But this man preaching this down, that's false and that is this and that is that. If you are in truth, God open your eyes, then you can pray God open His eyes.
Amen.
But if you scorn Him, be careful.
Amen.
We are sowing and we will reap.
Amen.
Amen.
It's a lifelong problem. Where do you draw the line with people who see things that are wrong, that are misleading? What do you do? To maintain a good spirit.
Amen.
Because He is the one who's in trouble. Therefore, you want to pity him because he has a problem, but not you.
Amen.
Therefore, if your pity in your heart is for him and you desire him to see, then you pray for him.
Amen. Amen.
You talk with him. You don't have to talk about doctrine. Fellowship. Keep friendly with him.
Amen.
In the right spirit.
Amen.
Don't criticize him. Criticize him can't open eyes.
Amen.
Only God can open eyes.
Amen.
But that man might be seeing the wrong thing and preaching it wrong. And your eyes are watching it, and that man is not really the problem.
Yeah.
God just put that there and allow that so He can bring your problem out of self-righteousness.
Amen.
Amen.
He can bring the problem out of you. And then you start to behave and have the bad spirit and separate and do this and get your people to hate and to be afraid and to get away from them. And like him. Christ cannot be deceived unless you don't believe that.
Amen.
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 How? Amen.
You see, but it might affect my people. It's easy to neutralize it. You get so and say, brother, this is our brother. The Lord put it on my heart. This is the way I see it. This is the way they see it. Until the Lord shows any different, this is what we believe.
Yeah.
That's the end of that.
Yeah. Amen.
Neutralize the problem.
Yeah.
But you see, we don't want that because we like this separation for many reasons. We're afraid people might go to that church.
Yeah.
We're afraid if we put fear by these people are wrong and false and they're not going to rapture, then the people say, well, we're going to rapture. See, we believe. For our insecurities, we do it. For our fears, our jealousies. And then we say to the Word of God, we're making a stand for God. You think God can honor that? Quickly. It says being justified freely by His grace. So justification, you become guilt-free, not by changing. You become guilt-free by believing.
Amen.
How many has problems here? False.
Right.
Too much.
Amen.
Are you justified?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In the eyes of God, there is not one charge against you.
Amen.
Listen, if God brings a charge, God is guilty.
Amen.
The case said, who can lay a charge that God is there?
Amen.
And if God is justified, how can God justify and find you guilty?
Amen.
Amen. Not even God, amen, is charging you. Who dared to charge you?
Amen.
Who can lay a charge that God is there? Jesus Christ to shame.
Amen.
It's to be a reproach.
Amen.
On the very blood that you say justify you freely by grace.
Amen.
Like I said, it is desire of every preacher, not by carnality, but with love, to rob you of any glory, to shame your good works.
Amen.
To shame your good behavior.
Amen.
Your morality.
Amen.
Your obedience that is without faith.
Amen.
That you might receive the genuine thing.
Amen.
That you might
Amen.
Find good.
Amen.
So you have all these faults and you are not guilty. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Why? Because you're not looking at you.
Amen.
As long as you forget that. As long as you are not taught that, as long as you are looking to learn all of the mysteries for peace, it doesn't come that way.
No.
Peace only comes by knowing He did it for me.
Amen.
And that He's not holding me accountable. He's already saved me from death, hell, and the grave.
Amen.
What am I afraid of?
Yes.
I'm only afraid of myself.
Amen.
That's why He has to save me from me.
Amen.
He's only going to clean me up now so that He can be glorified in me.
Amen.
That is what it's about. So He justifies you. Let's take sanctification. What about that? When a man believes he's saved, this is what he does. He said, from the time the man believes that he's saved, he says he must believe it and confess that he is saved.
Amen.
If you don't believe, out of the heart believe it and the mouth confess it. If you have never been taught that, then something is wrong, because Brother Branham says, unless you believe it and confess it, God will never act on it.
Yeah.
Amen.
God will. He is only the high priest of your confession.
Amen.
You don't confess. You say, I believe it. That's not good enough.
Yeah.
He said to believe it and to confess it.
Amen.
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 Yes.
That's what He said. To believe and to confess that He has done it.
Amen.
And then He said, associate yourself with Christian fellowship.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Because in associating, amen, when somebody who pick their nose, you pick your nose.
Right.
What's somebody in the crowd yawn? Watch. Everybody starts yawning. Isn't that true?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's what happens. You associate with Christian fellowship. Keep in Christian atmosphere.
Amen.
Keep nurturing that faith.
Amen.
Amen. And as you begin to do it, God begins to work in your life.
Amen.
By giving you desires. You might start off babyly by saying, I want to be like Brother Barnabas. I want to be like Brother Nani. I want to be quiet like Brother Paul. Amen. My, I'd like to be a preacher like Brother Punsami. I like to teach things of God. you'll start getting heroes.
Yes,
you'll start admiring men, but it's really Christ in them you're admiring. You begin
yes,
to have a different desire.
Yes,
the Bible said a new desire is a new spirit.
Amen.
You just don't go on and say, well, I promise I'm going to change that problem. God don't want that. You start right back the way you say you. But you begin to have these desires. And as you begin to have these desires, your thinking begins to change. Your desire, your thinking change, your desire begins to change. You want to be like this one, and as you begin to cry out to the Lord.
Amen.
And then he becomes your sanctifier.
Amen.
You're not afraid you don't have, you're not cleaned up, and therefore you're not going to heaven. You already believe that you're saved. How then can you be lost?
Yes.
How can your heart be frightened again? Can your faults frighten you when you already paid for your faults?
Amen.
Can your weakness frighten you? Cannot frighten you anymore. Sanctification is as joyful an experience as justification is.
Amen.
Justification is a warming of the heart to know, amen, that no matter what problem I had, he already dropped the charges.
Yes.
He took care of it. Amen. It warms the heart. Justification is not a knowledge thing. Amen. It is a heart thing.
Amen.
Justification is a new way of thinking how God thinks. God thinks not the way you think. He judges not the way you judge. Amen. He judged me by one man. I was condemned. And by one man, I became acceptable.
Amen.
Amen. That warms the heart. So adopted, we forgot where we started from. Or is this just a Pentecostal message? Because them that know not Christ, they boast on how much they know of the message.
Amen.
And anything that is not mentioned as third, fourth, and seventh tongues and these things is Pentecostal. Therefore, the greatest of all work, God's greatest masterpiece, God's greatest achievement, is belittled for the sake of knowledge.
Amen.
I wonder if that's not the spirit of the Greek that seeks after wisdom. Or the Pentecostals that seek after signs. Christ must be the central theme. And the day you leave the cross, the day it is not before your eyes, the day you don't take it up and walk and you forget, is the day pride will enter back in.
Yes.
I'm not going to go on. I have a piece pastoral I'd like to do. I want you to notice there are two kinds of righteousness. There is righteousness which is of works. It's called active righteousness. It means you have to do for your conscience to feel that it's good and rested with God. As long as you're doing, believing, hearing mysteries, learning, the old man loves that.
Yes.
The old man is very religious. He likes fasting and keeping days and fast, keeping himself from things of the world. He loves that. Because he can measure himself by that.
Then
that our faith can't measure themselves only by the work of Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Then there is another faith. There are another righteous, that which is not faith, which means only in trusting what he has done. I become righteous. Righteous means having the right standing with God.
Amen.
You who are an enemy was not standing right with God. You were under the wrath of God. But just by being in Christ, accepting Christ, God says, no matter what fault you have, you're the right standing. Amen. Because you trust not in yourself, but you look unto me.
Amen.
And that glorifies God. Because it says, this is the only wisdom that there is.
Amen.
Amen. In other words, he is the God of all wisdom.
Yeah. Amen.
Only in his wisdom I shall be saved.
Amen.
I'm not looking, I can't find any other way.
Yeah.
I don't want to find any other way.
Amen.
He is the way.
Amen.
It is called imputed righteousness.
Amen.
It means you don't have to do any suffer anything. You don't have to buy anything. He just places it on your account. Yeah. Every time God looks at you, he sees the book, not the drawer. Mm. It is an accounting tool. And Cupid is an accounting tool. It means that if you can pull the cash register drawer, it's only $10. Say, man, there's only $10 there, you're lacking. But if you look at the book says, oh man, we got millions.
Amen.
What is in the book is imputed to be a cash register, because if you need it, I can always draw into the account.
Amen.
So when you look at yourself and you don't see any good, just draw on the book.
Amen.
You may not see it here, but you'll see it in the book.
Yes, sir.
If you want to be righteous, how many want to be righteous?
Amen.
Amen. Righteousness does not come by doing good works. Yes. Righteousness is something, amen, that he imputes to you because of his work.
Yes.
How many believe they are righteous?
Amen.
With all of your court, you believe you're righteous. He said, therefore you cannot lie.
Thank you, Lord.
I am righteous. I have the right standing with God and I'm happy. I am thankful.
Yeah.
What if you mess up? What if you did lie and you lose your righteousness?
No, sir.
You mean you lied and you didn't lose your righteousness?
Amen.
You see, righteousness only came by belief. Belief which neutralizes sin. Belief neutralizes sin. Sin is unbelief. But you believe in Christ, that is always there. But you see, sins,
yes,
that is there also.
Amen.
So therefore, while in your righteousness you are living right, evil is still present with you.
Yes.
But
Amen.
It does not change the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Sins is there, faults is there,
yes,
but sin is not there.
Amen.
Because
all
you don't unbelieve, you believe. Now we go to the book of 1 John. Unless your heart is settled and happy and contented, amen, with God, you'll never be contented with man.
Yeah.
I find no fault in him. He finds no fault in me. Why should I find fault in thee? Believe it or not, you might not want to believe this, but the next man has already been paid for, even though he don't believe. When Christ died, he bought even a sinner that will not accept him.
Amen.
So watch very carefully how you treat him, because God has a purpose for him also.
Amen.
Because if God didn't open his eyes, he wants to show you, it is by grace I open yours. You could have been that man.
Amen.
First John chapter 5. I know that these scriptures are so elementary, we and the message are too deep for them, but maybe we can just read them. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him and begot, loveth him also that begotteth of him. For we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. There's only two commandments. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandments for us. It goes on to say, now watch here, the fourth verse. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
Simple. It has nothing to do with third pole, with seventh seal. That's another aspect of the world. Here is where you believe you're seen.
Amen.
Here outside is where you believe you are saved. Here. And because the Holy Spirit led you and opened your heart to believe this, when He sees your faith, He confirms it by giving you a gene. That faith now changes to the faith of God.
Amen.
This is not believing. This is believing in Christ. This is Christ in you believing.
Amen.
And now you're in the body, ready for the word. Now watch what happens. As long as your faith is in Christ and you are elect.
Amen.
Then He sends the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit always comes in the form of the word or the message. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost cannot come to you outside the message of the hour.
Amen.
When you believe this, then the message of the hour will meet you, and the Spirit will begin to speak with you, and
Amen.
That is the voice of God calling His sheep.
Amen.
To gather them into the fold for the age they live in.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Amen.
Amen. So when God sees your faith in Christ, in the person of Christ, and that is your joy, that is your peace, that is your rest. Amen. Nothing can scare you there. You're not looking to yourself. Self is already dying.
Amen.
Amen.
When God, you see yourself, you see all men. Amen. When all of that changes in your attitude, the way you judge it, you're an intercessor, you're merciful, you're giving everything that you receive because you already believe it here that He's allotted to you. Mm-hmm. Then God sees that He's going to confirm your faith. And the confirming your faith is the baptism of the Holy Ghost that comes in the form of the message of the hour. And then that quickens you again. Amen. You're not seeing the message just by what the prophet preached.
No.
Anybody can hear that. But the Spirit is revealing to you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The Spirit is revealing to you what He means.
Amen.
It's a love story written between the lines.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And what it will do for you, there are people writing a message it will never do for them.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And that will keep you, will not keep them.
Amen.
When they are critical, when they are forefinding, when they have been dispersed, when they cannot handle injustice and men reviling them and all of these things, you are blessing them that revile.
Amen.
Them.
Amen.
Amen.
What people think of you.
Yeah.
You're living your life as a show for others. Yeah. Amen. You don't live to please man.
Amen.
You live to please God.
Amen.
And the only way to try your faith to see if you are dead is to kick him.
Yes.
Hurt him.
Amen.
Lie on him. Steal from him. Cheat from him. Slander him.
Yeah.
Then you'll see if he's still living.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He begins to react back to that man and say, why did he do that? I didn't do you anything. You missed the boat.
Amen.
Say, brother, you're hurting me because I know you are hurting. You know not Christ.
Amen.
I would have done the same thing to others. I would have fought the same way to get justice if not for the grace of God.
Amen.
That's why you can love your enemies.
Amen.
You can love your enemies because you are an enemy to one who loves you.
Amen.
And His love changed your heart.
Amen.
Your love for your enemy can change his heart.
Amen.
He might not come to love you, but you will have some enemies that you can't change, but there's some that when they become friends, they are better friends than friends that you did have.
Amen.
Your kindness, your attitude.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. That's what it says. But what should I bring to you? In this walk of faith, unless you are secure in Christ, unless your peace starts off before you even know anything about the message, your peace must be in Him. He satisfied God for me, and God is happy. God is satisfied with the work of Christ. God has said, all is well with you and I, son. But Dad, I have all these problems. Don't worry, under the blood.
Amen. Amen.
You have an advocate. You're all right, son. I will clean you up in time. Look unto me. I'll be your sanctifier.
Amen.
Amen. All your prayers are opportunities for me and you to meet.
Amen.
All your prayers are opportunities. Amen. Don't be dismayed. Don't be alarmed.
Amen.
Amen. I've already delivered you from death and the grave.
Amen.
Amen. Now your prayers. Amen. I am going to show you my power. I'm a sanctifier also.
Towards him.
You begin to see that he really didn't want any good thing from me, but he wanted to know there was no good thing for me. And he had to give me the law to teach me that.
Amen.
He had to give me the law so that I could know the knowledge of sin, that I am a sinner and cannot change. He didn't want to exact anything from me. How can he expect a clean thing from an unclean thing? He wasn't doing that. And I thought he was doing that. But he was tutoring me that I might cry unto him, help me, O Lord. Save me, O Lord.
Amen.
Now how your attitude began to change towards him. You begin to realize he didn't expect any good thing from me. But I thought he did. That's why I was trying to do it. And you were trying to say,
yeah.
Look, that's the problem.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
Amen.
You begin to see he loves you.
Yeah. Amen.
While you are yet a sinner. If he didn't love you, you'll never be here tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
You'll never want to hear the keys of how to enter into the treasures of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
How to draw from the account book. How to make the word live. By faith in him, trusting, I believe in Christ, and God will give me the Holy Spirit to make what I believe in any promise come to pass.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
This begins to change your heart. You begin to see that he loves you.
Amen.
1 John 4:16 says that we may come to know and believe the love God has for us.
Amen.
Once you begin to see he love you, all this elaborate thing was for you. All of this was for you. He don't want your holiness. He can make you holy.
Yeah.
He wants you to look unto him that is holy.
Amen.
That he might produce it in you. That you can't say, I am holy.
Amen.
If I'm holy, it's the holy God in me.
Amen.
It's just Holy Spirit in me.
Amen.
Oh, he's not going to share his glory with anyone.
Amen.
Your attitude changes towards him. You don't have to make yourself change. Just knowing that you're experiencing what I am preaching.
Amen.
Already knows that you have seen him the wrong way.
Amen.
And begin to change your heart. Begin to warm your heart. And as you begin to change your heart and warm your heart, it's not only changing your attitude towards him, but it's also changing your attitude towards the other man.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
And right then and there, you're beginning to fulfill the commandments.
Amen.
Because love is the fulfillment of the law.
Amen.
If I love my brother, I will not steal from him.
Amen.
But I will give him.
Amen.
If I love my brother, I will not lie on him. But I will cover for him.
Amen. Amen.
I will not I to his guilt, I will intercede for him.
Hallelujah!
I will not run away when he falls, but I'll go running to help
him. Amen.
Amen.
Because when I fell, there was someone interceding for me.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Changes your attitude, and you don't know seven seal yet.
Yes, sir.
You don't know third pole yet. It's just your attitude is changing. And that right attitude will bring God in the scene.
Amen.
If you have your doctrine wrong, it will bring him on the seat to straighten the doctrine.
Amen.
Whatever it is, the right attitude brings him.
Amen.
It brings him to inhabit your praises. It brings him to help you when you're weak.
Amen.
Because your attitude is always, Lord, I'm going to do this, but I might know how to do it, but anything could go wrong without your grace.
Amen.
I'm looking for your grace.
Amen.
It robs you of your confidence in your skill and your ability and your knowledge. You say, Lord, I might know it, but there's so many things can go wrong.
Amen.
A farmer might know how to plant the right ground, He might know the right time, the right season, he might know everything. And if he goes there with all of that, knowing all of that, and do it right, he has no control of the weather.
Amen.
So even he has to depend on God. Even the best of you that has skill, if you don't give it back to God,
Amen.
It can bring you to shame.
Amen.
It can bring you to dishonor. It can be stumbling
up. Amen.
Changes your attitude about him. You begin to love him. You're already obeying the first commandment. By just accepting him as your savior, you're saying there's no other savior, therefore there's no other God. You're fulfilling the very first commandment, and you might even know the commandments. You just know Christ. There's faith in Christ allowed you to fulfill the first commandment just by faith. You're saying there's no other God. Therefore, I would bow to no other image except Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's no other image, there's no other idol, there's no other hope anywhere else I can hope for. Therefore, he's the only living and true God.
Amen.
The only Savior.
Amen.
That's the first commandment. To love the Lord with all your heart. That's where it begins, right? When you see his attitude towards you. Then you love your neighbor. From this, all good works is acceptable.
Amen.
Without this, all your living of the message is in vain.
Amen.
Is in vain.
Yes,
is nothing.
Amen.
You're trusting on nothing. Right. You're trusting in vanity.
Yes. Amen.
From this, all good works comes into being. The Ten Commandments are broken up in the first five towards God and the next five, I think it is, towards man.
Right. Amen.
How you live towards your neighbor, how you live towards God. You are automatically keeping the second commandment. You will not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Yes.
You automatically take it because everything you do, you say, I'm doing it by the grace of God.
Yes.
I'm doing it in the name of the Lord. Whatever you do in the word and deed, you do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whatever success you have is because of him.
Amen.
Amen. Automatically, so you're not using his name in vain. You might even call his name, but you're doing it from the heart. And he's being glorified in the heart.
Amen.
And if you're not doing it like that, if you have never come this way, then you're robbing him of glory. Because you're not honoring his name, you're dishonoring it.
Yeah.
We can preach. The greatest of this breaking of this commandment is in the ministry. The breaking of taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain, the greatest guilt lies here. As many times we preach for the honor of men.
Amen.
We preach so that our church might be filled up.
Yes.
We preach
Amen.
To compare ourselves with other ministries. We preach for different reasons. And God and Christ is not the real object.
Amen. Amen.
Therefore you rob him, it's in vain.
Amen.
Amen.
They might not know it, but he knows it.
Amen.
Therefore you are breaking of that commandment. It is when you preach with a heart that is to glorify him and his people
Amen.
To be free from their yoke and their bondage.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
We rob him. When we pervert the gospel to control you by fear.
Amen.
Give you grace today and take it away tomorrow when you behave, misbehave. We rob him. We're saying that we are perverting his gospel because we are afraid that you will sin. Because we don't trust in the power of the blood and the gospel.
Amen.
So even unbelief is being preached into the people.
Amen.
And God is not being glorified. Therefore, you're taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain by preaching his word.
Amen.
But yet it honors him not. The people honor me with their words, but their heart is far from me.
Amen.
He was speaking to the ministry when he said that. I'm not trying to make anybody ashamed. I am part of it also. But I'm trying to show you that we all depend on each other.
Amen.
If you don't pray for us, then you don't care about you and your walk with God.
Yes.
You cannot live higher than your pastor.
Amen.
And you cannot change your pastor. God gave you a pastor.
Amen.
Therefore, you are looking for God to bless. bless him, because as long as he is blessed, you are blessed.
Yes, Lord.
And the pastor wants his people to be blessed.
Yes, sir.
He wants them to be free. He wants them to love Christ.
Yes.
He wants them to walk for the right reason. He doesn't want them to be conformed to the message. He wants them to be transformed by it.
Amen.
And he wants that. That's a pastor's heart.
Amen.
But do you think we always know how to do it? Do you think we have all the right answers? Do you think we really know the path? We've never been this way before.
Right.
We've never been this way before. But you don't live to your responsibility. And you expect us to live to ours.
Yes, sir.
You don't pray. You don't fast.
Right.
You don't lift up the man of God like who? And Aaron, you don't lift them up.
Right.
You don't lift them up. If you don't lift them up, there's no victory.
Right. Amen.
And then you expect the church to have revival because you're dependent on the pastor to bring revival.
Yes. Amen.
Tell me if that's not hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Tell me if that is wrong.
Right. Amen.
As long as these here a heart that is turned towards God in a measure of love, not because you want to love Him, but because it's being produced little by little. A grateful heart,
yes.
A thankful heart.
Amen.
God will accept all works there.
Amen.
Because you're depending on Him. You're not trying to keep your hair because
yes.
What a pastor will say, what your husband yes. will say, what your this will say. No, you want
yes.
you want to please Him.
Amen. Amen.
And then if you do, if you even come this way and you still have a thought, Lord, I really like my hair this way and to grow it, I know that's what your words say. Be honest with Him and say, Lord, let me love what you love.
Amen.
Cause me.
Yes.
I'm doing in obedience to my husband, to my pastor, to the word, but I don't love it. Only you can make me love it.
Yes. Amen.
Don't leave it by just doing it.
Yes.
Ask Him to give you the desire.
Yes.
Ask Him to change the heart.
Yes.
That's what He
yes.
wants. He wants people to be honest.
Yes.
He doesn't want you to act it out.
Amen.
He wants you to live it out.
Amen.
Feel it. That is what He's there for.
Amen.
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 Let me close it at this angle here. The closest thing to compare to the love of God is your money. So the first violation of the trying of the first commandment is the love of mammon. If you love the world, for the things of the world, the love of God is not
here.
This that He has done for you should have created a grateful heart.
Amen.
A thankful heart.
Amen.
And the only way that you could have had this come to you is because somebody was paying their tithes and their offerings. That some pastor was preaching Christ. And that somebody in the congregation had learned Christ the right way and came and testified Christ to you.
Amen.
It is because somebody, amen, invested in the kingdom of God.
Yes, amen. Amen.
That Christ might become a deliverer
yes.
to someone.
Amen.
In other words, once you begin to see
yes.
what the gospel can do for you,
yes.
Yes, sir.
You will want that for everyone.
Amen.
Amen.
You want that for your own family.
Amen.
You want that for your brother. You want that for your sister. You want that for your enemy if you only need
yes.
Christ.
Amen.
And the only way that Christ can be propagated is through His body.
Yes.
And the only way His body can carry the message right is if the ministry teaches it right.
Yes.
And the only way the ministry can do it effectively is when you support it.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Not with just pastor, that was a good service.
Yeah.
Thank you. He's a good man. All of those things are good.
Yeah.
But God has a provided way.
Amen.
And that provided way is called tithing.
Yeah.
When you tithe, you are literally saying that I am fulfilling the first commandment because I am taking the first and saying He.
Yeah.
Amen.
I love Him first.
Amen.
I love the Lord my God first.
Amen.
Above all things, I am honoring Him with my substance.
Amen.
Because I'm saying this, I am saying it belongs to Him.
Amen.
He is the giver.
Amen.
He is the owner.
Amen.
He is the blesser.
Amen.
it's not a rule or a regulation.
Amen.
Tithing is a revelation.
Amen.
It's a revelation of your heart towards God and the people.
Yes.
And tithing fulfills these two commandments.
Yes, sir.
Because if you love your neighbor, the best you want for him is the gospel.
Yes.
The best you want for him is the gospel.
Yes.
And the only way the gospel can be propagated is through missionaries, evangelists,
amen,
through teaching the people that they might take Christ out, live Christ, make them salty. Amen. Amen. The people will thirst after Christ.
Amen.
You say you love the gospel, where is your investment?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. You wish God had said, give 5% tithing. He could have said even 2% tithing. You wish that.
Amen.
You cannot say you love God and your fellow man and keeping his commandments and your attitude towards tithing is wrong.
Yes.
Even if you give tithing and if not given with a cheerful heart, the windows of heaven can't be opened.
Yeah. Amen.
Because the windows that is above you is not windows that open. It's windows that are sealed.
Amen.
It's made of a brass. It's called the judgment of God. And then he blows upon what you do have. And he considers you a robber and a thief.
Amen.
In my church, nobody takes communion. If they don't pay their tithing, the deacons will talk to them. And then it's up to them if they want to take the tithing and communion. You can't stop them.
Amen.
Yeah. Can't stop them. But you talk to them first. Because we are afraid to talk to people about tithing. Because you think that people will say, he's after my money. Don't be afraid what they think, brothers. It's what God thinks.
Yes.
God said they're a thief.
Yes.
What do you care what a thief thinks? And a thief will tell another thief, you see what, that's what he's after money. And if he has a thief in spirit, he will agree, because spirits come out together.
Yeah.
They will agree.
Yeah.
And so in the church, it's always a band of thieves. Judas was there.
Yeah.
It fulfills the two commandments, because you're saying, I love him, and I want every man to experience that peace. It fulfills the two sides of the gospel, the love of God and love of man.
Amen.
Because without a priesthood, how can you be taught? How can God's word be established?
Amen.
Where would there be lighthouse in every community, churches in every area, because of your time?
Amen.
Brother Branham interprets this scripture this way. Seek first the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Amen.
He said, you see, when you pay your tithing, you are seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Yes, sir.
That is included. If a prophet ties itself with an interpretation of a scripture, nobody can misinterpret that. You can't say you're seeking first the kingdom. Seeking first the kingdom not only means that you yourself are seeking. After you found it, you are still even having the kingdom being established for others who seek it.
Amen.
You are seeking the interest of the kingdom.
Amen.
By setting it up and making and empowering the local church to operate.
Amen.
Tithing is the fulfillment of the first commandment.
Amen.
It is honoring God with His substance. It is more. Tithing says that he is the owner, I am only the steward.
Amen. Amen.
Tithing says that I am investing in a kingdom hereafter.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That will pay dividends.
Yes, sir.
The stock options are wonderful.
Amen.
That you can retire, that's retirement.
Yes, sir. Amen.
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 That's what it's saying.
Yes.
Tithing is saying that there's only one. There's only one. You're not paying your tithing to man.
Yeah.
You're paying your tithing to Melchizedek.
Yes.
You're king eternal, immortal, invisible. That means Abraham's seed.
Amen.
Because Abraham is called the faithful. And all that follow after Abraham will do what Abraham did.
Amen.
Amen.
Tithing also establishes an order. It establishes that the owner is joining himself with the Levites or the priesthood. And even though they're paying them the tithing belongs to the Lord. It's an order. But in the New Testament, the order changes to a Melchizedek order.
Amen.
And the tithing that it comes into the church, into the ministry, is identified with the Lord, but there's something else. It changes over from gifted people to all his people.
Amen.
Because in the future home, they will bring their tithings into you, because you will be kings and priests. You who are faithful in your tithing now accept tithing. Why? Because you are joint heirs. Kings and priests.
Amen.
That's why from the throne will go mercy and judgment.
Sir.
He has shown you how to do mercy and judgment here so that you can fulfill over there also.
Amen.
Your judgment here will determine how you will judge over there.
Yeah.
This is your training.
Yeah.
Your tithing. Now watch carefully. I don't have the time, but let's take the offering. Your tithing is a must.
Amen.
It is 10%. That doesn't mean you can't give 11%. That means you can't give 12%. The more you give, it is more that you're invested. It is more you will be blessed. If the windows of heaven were open for 10%, I wonder what will happen with 15%. He said, but that's giving him too much money. You're not giving him. You're invested.
Yes,
sir. You say, well, a lot of people say, I have so little money. Other people make so much money. I miss my tithing. They don't. You're missing the point.
Yes.
Watch carefully now. If that man has a lot of money, and he paying his 10%, and you have a little money, then use God's law. He pay 10%, you pay 15%.
Yeah.
That when the window open here, it will open bigger than the door over there. Isn't that true?
Yes.
You say, oh, I don't believe that. Okay, you put one seed in this place here, let it grow. Put three seeds over here. What happens? You get three times the fruit. You get one time the fruit. Well, if it is the same, if the law is the same, should you not expect more?
Amen.
Yes.
If you really believe in God's concept, that kind of faith.
Amen.
That's exciting. Now offering is different. Especially for Indian people.
Yeah.
Wow. If I wasn't an Indian, you would call me a bigot. And isn't that true? He's always after the Indians. The reason for that is because I don't know other class. I was born one. I live with all the habits you have.
Yeah.
I know the Indian man. Because I know me well.
Yes, sir.
When it comes to offering, brother, they've got it packed. When the offering plate comes, they're now trying to punch. Well, I only have $5,000. Do you have a single run? You see, it becomes a tradition that when the plate comes, they know every service is going to have a plate. But it is like a surprise to them. Oh, it's an offering. Wow, it's an offering. Every service is the same. It is a surprise. It's the only thing, the only amnesia we are good at. Wow. Offering. If I knew, I would have made change. More change. Because when you say offering, we are looking for the smallest denomination in our pocket.
Right. Yes,
amen.
Amen.
And if it's a big or big bill in our pocket, we'll determine it. Should I give offering?
Yeah.
And if I don't give, I wonder who's watching. And we are so ashamed that we take our hand and put it in the back so nobody sees the color of the rag. because we know, because you want to see what people hear. I say, don't be ashamed if you have a good conscience.
Amen.
If you give one round with a good conscience,
yes.
If that is what you want to give, you're cheerful giver, you have given all you can give, don't be ashamed.
Yes.
Because we want to make sure if it's a big bill, everybody see, we play with it.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Absolutely.
But watch very carefully, friends. You who love the kingdom, you say, I love my pastor, I love the church.
Yeah.
Thank God for our church. Thank God for the man of God. You know, you're happy, you're content. Every church has problems. And by the way, any of you brothers here, church is perfect? No? Nothing? Everybody church has problems?
Yes, sir.
The people have problems?
No.
Sometimes ministers have problems. Why are you looking for a perfect church?
Yeah.
If there's no perfect church, you want to go to a church that is a little more perfect than the one you have, right?
Right.
Let me give you a scripture while you move before we go. Ecclesiastes 10.
Good stuff.
You still love him?
Amen.
I love him because I know, convinced that he first loved me. Ecclesiastic 10. This is why people move. Ecclesiastic 10 and 4. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place. You see, we believe, I believe the word.
Amen.
Christ died at Calvary.
Amen.
Is that right? Amen. The love of God is shedded abroad in your heart. Amen. Is that right?
Amen.
This is the house of God, and judgment begins in the house of God.
Amen.
So when the spirit of the ruler rises up against thee, against your children, against your wife, against you, what are you going to do? If the scripture did not know the human nature, it knows they will leave. Because man don't like correction.
Yes.
Because correction makes them think opposite of what God thinks. Correction to you means people don't love you.
Yeah.
They don't like you. They're picking on me.
God.
They think I'm not perfect. They think I have faults. But correction for God says, I love you.
Amen.
And so therefore now, in their carnal way, not in God's way, they want to do, they want to leave.
Yeah.
They want to remove themselves from that place.
Amen.
It means to say that the carnal will, but the spiritual will do the opposite here.
Yeah.
It will keep its place.
Amen.
And the next verse says, the next piece says, and yield yourself, pacify it. Yielding yourself, pacify it.
Yeah.
The circumstance, the situation.
Amen.
Just humble yourself. Correction is not for every day.
Yes,
you don't beat your children every day, you get tired.
Yes.
No, you just, you beat them, you strike them. When? When you know they're in danger.
Amen.
Danger. This offering that we're going to talk about is something that you give free will.
Amen.
It's called a free will offering.
Yeah.
You call it free will. Some people say, it ought to be free will. I'm giving it freely. Then why are you asking about it now? Why are you preaching about it? Because it has a blessing in it.
Yes.
It has a blessing in it.
Right.
Free will offering means this. You give an offering based upon how God blesses you.
Amen.
Not what you determine.
Yes,
it is always based on how much God blesses you.
Amen.
Not a fixed amount.
Amen. Amen.
Never.
Yes, sir.
This is not. In other words, you will come to give an offering, and the offering comes, and then you begin to determine, well, I give a dollar today. I'm looking at the rest of my change. How much is left over? I give according to that. Well, I've got to eat lunch this week. That's not how it's done.
Yeah.
It is done about the same time you give your tithing. Let's say God gave you $100 today. Your tithing would be $10.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Your offering must be based on a percentage that you make up. Let's say I want to give, let's say 10% offering. 10% of my tithing, that becomes a dollar. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
You make up a percentage, 10% is lower. You need to give up 20%. Anyway, so it becomes a dollar. But let's say God blesses you tomorrow, next week with $200. Your tithing becomes $20. And your offering becomes $2.
Yeah.
Every time God blesses you, your offering goes up.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Because you are saying to God, the more you give me, Lord, the more I'm giving you back.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But when God gives you more and you keep the same, you're telling God,
yeah,
thanks for giving me some more. I don't plan to give you money. And some of you even cut it because you see you're giving based on this.
Yeah.
Why don't you give your tithing and offering together?
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you what I did in my church. I glorify God in this. About 10 years ago or so, I did a series of messages on financial principles. I made everyone in my church agree to live by a budget because one of the problems of our age is debt.
Amen.
You live by a budget. I set my deacons up, had some courses, some training with them, and I let them go to the houses and work out a budget for the people. If some of them were in too much debt, we'll get them into the right organizations, and we'll help them to freeze the debt, work out a lower interest plan for them, pay off the debt. Whatever has to be done. Because that's the curse of our age.
Yeah.
Then we made some rules up for the world. You don't have to do this. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm not saying this is what should be done. But maybe we can consider it.
Amen.
Nobody in the church, not even the poor, can get money unless they're living on a budget. Because many people are poor not because they're poor. Many people are poor because they've mishandled what God has given them.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
So nobody can get help unless they're living by a budget. Second, nobody who does not pay tithes and offering gets an offering at all. You can get a free will from anybody you want, but not from the church. Because a man who doesn't pay his tithes and offering is cursed.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible said. He's cursed. How can you take God's money and give it to a man who's cursed?
Yes, sir.
Kill him, defeat in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Cannot do it. It forces the people to become responsible.
Yeah.
At least who wants to be right? Because money is a big issue in this. And then I teach them that the scripture says a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. In the house of the righteous there is always oil and wine, but the foolish spendeth his own all out. He considered the ant. How he puts away for the winter. So I started on a policy where from the beginning, they give God their 10%. Then they give an offering based on a percentage of that. That must come down, at the time you're tithing, it comes off.
Yeah.
Then you pay yourself 10%. That goes into an account. You don't touch that. That's for the ants, winter, rainy day. These principles are set up even in the world. Men like Larry Burkett and all of these men, they might have different things, but the concepts are about the same scripture. Then the rest of it goes into needs, not wants. Goes into needs, which means the rent comes first, the food comes first, the electric comes first. Then if you don't have money to pay the car moves. Something has to give. Because you can live without a car, but you can't live without food.
Yes.
Okay? And so you set your priority out and you balance it out at the end. If it works out and there is a surplus, that is where you can lend people money. But you cannot lend people if you don't have a surplus. Because if they don't pay you back, you're depending on it to pay your rent. If they don't pay you back, then you get upset and say, this man, I promised. No, you don't lend people your family's money. Your children's money. That is not generosity. No, that's not your money. You lend them from the surplus at the end of it. Now here's how it works. When the people learn to pay their tithe and their offering at the same time, I can close my church up for 1 week. 1 week. And go to services anywhere. And my trustees are not on my back. Because every service the offerings pick up, it goes towards the lights, utilities, the running of the church. And not miss one thing. Because anytime they pay their tithe, they pay their offering. So we miss nothing. Two, it honors God. You don't give him your leftover change every time you come, it's a surprise. You're not giving him the leftovers.
Yeah.
You determine already, after tithing, what you're going to give him.
Amen.
It's already set. God is first.
Yeah.
You honor him. His kingdom does not suffer. You can go and enjoy meetings anyway.
Yeah.
No problem. The church doesn't suffer. Second, if you are not concerned about the offering, you're not concerned about your blessing. That's where your true blessings come from. Because that's where you are sacrificing. You determine what you're going to give. There's nothing put there. You determine. He said, as the Lord blesses you is the key. If you want him to bless you more, give more. It's what you believe that you want.
Yeah.
That's it, right? It's a free will offering. So the more you believe to give is the more God will give. Another thing it does. When the offering is not important to you, then you suffer the kingdom of God. You see, because you have to run your house. You have to run your house. You have to pay your utilities, you have to pay your water, you have to pay your lights, you have to pay the land tax, you have to pay these things. And you are so concerned about your house. Do you know your offering goes towards God's house to pay the lights, the utilities, to fix these things, to buy these things? That's not supposed to come out of the tithing, but most good men put their tithing towards it. That comes from your offering. Do you know that when God asked them to build a tabernacle in the Old Testament, and Moses said, let's build a tabernacle for the Lord, and Moses said, let's have an offering. And Moses had to stop the people from bringing. That's how much their heart was for the Lord. I am thankful for what you have accomplished here with Brother Louis. I think it's a great thing to have a place where it's dedicated to God. It shows the heart of the people. It shows it's important. The kingdom is important to you. You're willing to invest. It teaches you to give. It teaches you to invest. God will bless you, multiply it. But when you don't care about God's house and you're selfish, you begin to say, well, you know, that brother drives a Mercedes. If they need anything, they should ask him.
Yeah.
Well, I just make a little, so I'm going to give a little bit. But you know, other people make big money in that church. So you see, everybody's depending on somebody for the week.
Yeah.
If everybody thinks like that, what's going to happen?
Exactly.
You don't worry about what other people give.
Amen.
You worry about what you want to be. Turn your heart to give for the kingdom of God. I know they have election bill. I know they have life bill. Let me see if I can find out what is the cost. And let me work a percentage out. And I can cover at least a part of that.
Amen.
Determine in your heart. Because if you don't care about God's house, the repairs of it, the building of it, the taking care of it. Let's go to Hagiah. Book of Hagiah chapter 1. Hagiah. This is mine here. I left it here, didn't I? Haggai 1, let's read from the third verse, Haggai 1 and 3. Then came the word of the Lord to Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your cedar houses, at this house lies. He's comparing, but you care about your house.
Yeah.
And to meet all his bills and everything, and my house lay waste.
Yeah.
This is God's thinking, because that's how man thinks. goes on to say now, "Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe, but ye are not warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes." You say, "But I pay my tithing." But your heart is not to support the house of God.
Yeah.
The tithing is required.
Yes.
Offering is free will.
Amen.
It says the offering that pays the light utility. It is the offering that builds. It is the offering that holds that the air conditioner or whatever it might be.
Yes, sir.
It is the offering. Goes on to say, "Thus say the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, say the Lord. He looked for much, and lo, it came little. And when he brought it home, I did blow on it." And some people say, "I pay my tithing. I want to pay my tithing." It might not be a tithing that's the problem. You just don't care how the house of God is run.
Yes. Yes.
You don't know the cost it takes to run it. Your offering is important to these trustees. Without your offering to the trustees, they are always concerned. We need this, we need that. But if you are faithful in your offerings, as are you with your tithing, God's house will lack nothing and God will bless you. Instead of this happening to you,
yeah,
the opposite will happen.
Amen.
"Why say the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is waste, and he run every man to his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountain, and upon the corn, and upon the wine, and upon oil, and upon that which the ground bring forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon the labors of thy hands." Friends, we can preach tithing and offering and make you scared to death. But do you think that's not what God wants? Why would you want to not invest in something that has eternal blessings? Why are you not concerned about the lighthouse in your area, your lighthouse? Because from here men are being trained and tutored. From here the gospel is going forth. From here these men of God should not have to think at all about making a living. I don't care how the congregation is. I started off a small congregation. Those people give more tithing than they normally would give just for me to be full time. If you think I'm blessed in the ministry, it's because of our people who sacrifice that I can stay full time, study and pray and work on their behalf.
Amen.
If you want your pastor, your ministry, there's a difference between a part-time ministry and a full-time ministry. You can always tell it when it preaches. I don't care how gifted the man is.
Amen.
But a man who stays close to the Lord, yeah, and is occupied with the things of God and the people,
yes, sir,
you watch that ministry.
Amen.
Amen.
I am a product of their generosity. I am a product of their giving. I'm one of the youngest pastors in our area. Brother Cyril knows this. I preached that principle. We had a storefront building we were renting. Storefront building means that there's glasses there. There were other buildings and properties, you know, that were there. And, you know, and so it was all glass, and then the congregation is here, and we put the pulpit somewhere. That's how it worked. That's called a storefront building. We had, for the first 6 months, we rented a storefront building. For the next 3 years, we leased the building. And after the people started faithfully living by that, I started a building fund. They give a percentage towards the building fund. With the offering on the building fund and the part of the tithing, we were able to buy a 3-acre property in one of the most expensive places in the heart of Colombia. But Sir will tell you, over 3 acres of land. With a building, brick building, completely loaded with pews, with chairs, with theater seats, with the Jehovah Witness building. For $190,000, and the building was worth at that time $250,000. Today it is worth over $500,000. Today. Because the people were giving in an honorable way. In an honor. You say it's just a little bit of money. Pastor says, land is expensive in Durban. is not expected of you to buy homes. And you are just working with one salary. How much more all the people? You see, sometimes we lose our ambition. We are contented. I say it is important.
Yes, sir.
It is important to teach the people to have a place that they can say is a house of God. If you can't afford it, there's no shame in it. But if you could, I believe God is willing to bless any ministry. God bless you tonight. I pray that you will meditate on what He has done for you. I pray that you will judge with righteous weights. Put it in the right scales. I pray that your attitude change towards each other and to every man, even the sinner. And I pray that you will support the house of God. This is an entirely different service, but God allowed me to bring it in. And I believe that it is for a good. That even your giving is a must be from an act of faith, or it becomes sin. My wife called me on yesterday, as Brother Jurgen introduced me. And she said, you know, honey, my family has a restaurant, a family restaurant, and a lot of people come in there to eat, even ministers, preachers, and so forth. And there was this man that, you know, he's a Baptist, independent Baptist, but you always talk, you know, we have good fellowship. And one of the men that is working with him came over, and she asked him, she said, do you know anybody who would, you know, take care of a big yard? Because we have a yard, and it's a kind of big yard fenced in, and a lot of work to do in it. She wouldn't be able to do it. And so he said, yeah. He said, I'll tell you what, I've got all the equipment, I'll come by and do it for you. She said, okay, go ahead and do it and then we'll pay you, we'll work out a price, okay? He went and he did it. She said he did a good job. And then he came back to the restaurant and she said, well, thanks for the labors and so forth, how much do I owe you? He said, isn't your husband on a mission fee? She said, yes. He said, he's doing something for the Lord. Said yes. He said, well, I'm doing this for him. Just the little things he do for you. Encourages you. I pray the Lord will continue to bless you, bless the ministry here. You have good men. You should stand behind them. You should pray for them. I have faults. Everybody has faults. Nobody's good. But if you will pray for them, you will not believe what God will do. God bless you, God.